a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been a little while since we got to do this.
Tim. The music's back and so is the weather.
Yes, it is. I thought you had to get you going this morning. It is time for a little snow day segment, and no longer do we have to pretend that the weather is going to turn at some point. Boy, did it turn this week.
Yes, it did.
A series of storms. Four out of the last 5 days got snow, and not only in the valleys or in the mountains, but down in the valleys. We could be talking 3 feet when they get all the totals.
It's going to be a snowball.
Yeah, it is going to be a snowball. Many of the resorts, some of the resorts anyway, open. Yesterday, it was Alta's turn to get things going, and that means that we're going to talk with Andrea Huskinson, who is on the line with us. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's snowing, and we're open, and I'm happy to be skiing again.
Yet, give us a little bit of an idea of what goes on at the resort before things can actually get up and running. I mean, it's not like snow falls and you throw a switch and you're on, right?
Oh, no, there's lots of, you know, we do make some, in the higher traffic areas, we do make snow, and then they push that snow around, and as we get the natural snow, they push that to make, you know, the base areas have a good, you know, base area, so we have enough snow for all the skiers, and, I mean, they've been busy for 2 weeks or longer, or actually over a month, getting the mountain ready.
Snow way.
There's quite a bit that goes into it.
We're going to be hearing snow jokes from Mavinowskis all day.
Snow way.
anything new that we should look forward to at the resort this year?
We have an additional Alta ski shop. It's always been at the Wildcat base area and then one up at Watson. We now are over at the Albion base side, so if you need to rent some skis or pick up an extra layer, we're now in the Albion base lodge.
Ah,
so
all
that's
right.
Exciting for us. And then we're doing our preferred carpool parking again, so 25% of the parking spots in the Wildcat lot are dedicated to carpoolers with three or more, so they have prime parking. So if you want to just have a quick jaunt to the lift, bring up three of your friends, and you'll have a primo spot to park.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's been emphasized over the last couple of years is just trying to get more and more people. If you're not going to take the rideshare bus or whatever to get up the canyon and park down at the base, at least load your buddies into the car so that and you'll get some priority parking and some other things. What was the other change I saw this week that we were talking about on Utah's Morning News? I think it was a new... And this isn't solely to do with Alta, but up Big Cottonwood Canyon and maybe Little Cottonwood as well. But Big Cottonwood for sure. Well, maybe it was just Little.
What was it?
It's new requirements for tires.
Yes, it is. It's both the canyons, so Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon. There's certain requirements on the tires.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because somebody gets in front of you, and they just spin, and they're holding up the line because you don't have a car. I mean, there's only one car in my mind. That's Skibaroo. Superdoo.
No, but I saw the chart. It's broken down by the gross weight of the vehicle and whether it's all-wheel, front-wheel, four-wheel drive. And they actually have gotten right down to looking and measuring how much tread there is on your tires.
Absolutely.
And what's required as far as chains or anything else, right?
Yes, correct. So I think the bigger vehicles, you know, like trucks and stuff, have to have the chains and then the tread on your all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and then your two-wheel drive cars as well.
Well, and I anticipate people moaning and groaning at that, but think about it. It's for your safety more than anything, and you get stuck on those roads. There's not many places to turn around.
Like I say, moaning and groaning from the people who are behind somebody who's had inadequate snow tires.
Should always be. You should always carry chains, even the Subaru guys.
I got them.
And them running off the road, or you know, that causes a lot of the traffic delays and backups and stuff.
Yeah. So, I know these snow totals are changing all of the time, but what was the plan for opening runs yesterday? Do you know?
We had all of our lifts running. Well, Collins, Wildcat, except for we have Wildcat, Collins, Sunnyside, and Sugarloaf are open, and Supreme is not. We usually hold off a little bit to open Supreme up.
Yeah, but I mean, those kinds of facts are going to be changing fairly quickly as long as Mother Nature stays in this pattern.
You know, this early in the season, Tim, fewer runs are good because you get ambitious and then you're hurting. Oh. You got to work up.
Yeah, I'm in that mode. I went to the gym for the first time in about 6 months the other day just to see what my lung capacity was and my leg strength, and I actually surprised myself, but I'm sure once I get on the hill the first couple of times, I'll realize how far behind I am.
When I'm on the treadmill or the bike, you can hear a squeaky noise. People look at me and go, what's that? They're my knees. Those are my knees.
Yeah.
You need to lube them up.
Yep. Where do we stand?
I always tell people you can't get into shape. The best way to get into shape for skiing is just skiing.
Yeah.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. And know your limitations early in the season so you don't, you know, pull something or break something that then puts you out for the rest of the season. Plan on having some short days to get up there. Best way to do that, obviously, is to be a season ticket holder one way or the other.
Oh, that's the only way. If you live in this state, you're a fool not to do that.
We're too far behind now for season ticket purchases, though, aren't we?
You can still purchase them, season passes.
Nice. Okay.
All right. What do you suggest for people? Are you still going to be offering the afternoon skiing on the lower part of the mountain? I know a lot of people that take advantage of that.
The Ski at 3 program?
Yeah.
Yes, we're still doing that, and that's from 3 to 4:30. It's $15 a day, or you can buy a season pass, adult or child, for $49, and there's no blackout date.
Yeah.
So basically, if you go more than three times, it pays for itself.
So opening day yesterday, that's got to be like Christmas Day for resort workers, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We're all excited. We're all like little kids on Christmas morning.
Well, Navodopsis even has a little extra spring in his step with ski season finally here.
Oh, it's so great. And it came early. I mean, the snow, we don't have to wait. This is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good year, Tim. I got that vibe.
If people want more information on Alta, they just need to go to alta.com, correct?
Yes, alta.com.
All right. Andrea, enjoy your day on the mountain. Thanks for checking in with us.
And we'll see you out on the slope.
We'll see
you later. Tim, she said there's no new things, pretty much. That's what Altaholics want. Exactly what they come to expect in their life, the same.
Have you heard that term before, Altaholics?
We lost her.
Yeah. You may have coined a phrase there, unless you heard
that. No, I got it from, what's his name with the Mohawk?
Plake?
Plake. He called me an alcoholic once.
Anyway, a couple of other things resort-related. I just want to make sure everybody knows that the snow totals, the ski totals, have started to roll in this past week from Ski Utah. You can actually sign up for that to be sent to your email if you so desire. They have an app that's handy for you.
I need that.
You can go to skiutah.com and get all the information on resort openings. Some of them, I think, are going to hold off. Deer Valley always does until the first week of December. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
Which I think is the 5th this year of December, but I'll double check that. Speaking of skiing, though, one of the places that we have talked about going, we went last year, is Steamboat, and it's been a stop for you every year.
Yeah, it has, especially with the new Icon Pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to have season passes there because we owned a condo there, and they did away with that, and it was just too expensive, so we went almost a decade without skiing there, but now with the Icon, we're back.
Yeah, and I bring it up because they got an early start, a record month in October, and then I think they went dry for a while. They had 44 inches in the month of October, but I saw yesterday
they got hit.
I saw yesterday that they got more snow, and they're getting hit probably again this weekend. But they put in a new gondola, $15 million.
No!
And it broke. Mm-hmm. It was not functioning as of yesterday, and they said it might be down for the entire holiday season while they figure out what went wrong.
Where is it? They didn't get rid of the old one, did they?
I to be honest with you, don't know, but there was only one gondola that took you from the base of the mountain to the top.
Right.
And if that's what they replaced, either with new pulleys and
that's bad news
cables or different cars, I don't know. But they spent $15 million, and it's not functioning at the moment.
But on the bright side, they'll get it fixed by presidents, and that's when you and I are there.
Always thinking on the bright side.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll do that when we come back. We'll finish out the program with Bob Grove coming up here in just a minute, so stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the final segment as we get ready to wrap up another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim and Russ here. Mike snuck out, but online with us today is Bob Grove. Road tripping with Bob. You just got back from another road trip too, didn't you?
I did. I've with the moniker is Road Tripping with Bob. That's what I do.
You've got to be on the road. Yeah, makes sense. You had a group of another Chinese group that was headed out somewhere?
Nope, not Chinese. They were women from Florida and Wisconsin.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I couldn't have been more wrong about that.
Yeah,
way
you
off.
Were about as far away as you could get on that one, Tim.
Look, the reason I wanted to get you on this week, and I tried last week, but you were on the road. That's why I know that you were out with a bunch of Chinese tourists. was because you dropped a bug in my ear that you and your lovely wife had decided to check something off your bucket list and head to Dead Horse Point for a unique experience, which was spending a night celebrating International Dark Sky in a yurt.
That's right. You know, I go to Dead Horse Point frequently. We do it with our tours. I do it on my own. I just love that area. You know, it's only a little more than 30 miles from Moab, so it's definitely part of what I do when I'm in the area. But I'd never stayed there at night, and they've been adding these yurts. State parks, I gotta put a plug in for state parks and recreation. We've got the best state parks anywhere.
Amen.
On the planet.
Amen. Yeah.
And they are so well managed. They just do it right. I tell you, they are the model that all others need to follow because they are phenomenal. And my tour members that I take on tours, when we visit national state parks, they always comment on that. They always make that comment that our state parks are so amazing and well run, and they have a great experience. So I got to just put that in. You know, I'm sure our good friend Eugene is listening. So, Eugene, thumbs up. You're doing well.
Do you have a favorite, Bob?
Do I have a favorite state park?
Yeah.
Well, I really, you know, I'm down here in the St. George area, so I really kind of favor Snow Canyon.
Okay.
Yeah. I just love Snow Canyon. Yeah. There's so many great hiking trails there for families, and I spend a lot of time there, and it's right close to Red Cliffs and all this. I mean, we're just got this concentration of all these amazing places, but Snow Canyon is definitely up there.
Yeah.
For me.
But Dead Horse Point, you had said that you've been there many times. You saw it under snow. You saw it fogged in during dramatic thunderstorms, never at night.
No.
And it's probably a place most people don't think about going at night because obviously you can't get the view at nighttime.
And the only time I've ever been there has been at night.
Really?
You
were there too.
Passing through on our state parks road trip. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Russ is always a little bit different.
Try to be.
Where the rest of us go to the daytime to see the Colorado River on the bottom 2,000 feet down, he goes at night.
Yeah. I think we actually saw more bats that night.
Yeah, I think we did a lot of bats on the front porch there, yeah.
So tell us about the night activities.
So it was really awesome. You know, I've seen these yurts. They just added some new yurts in 2018 in the Wingate campground. They got them in the Moyne Copiwik campground, and then they added these new yurts. And so I, passing through there, I said, I got to stay there. So I made arrangements. We stayed a couple of nights. Really close to all the trails. In fact, there are trails that lead right from the campground, not just a short distance from the visitor center and on our way to the point. But we had a great starry night. I was able to shoot some shots from right from our yurt. These yurts are really really cool. I mean, they're not glamping yurts where they have flat screen TVs and bathrooms in, but they're the next best thing. They have, queen size bunk beds, couches. They have AC and heat.
Wow!
A wraparound deck, a propane grill, fire ring. I mean, it's got a lot there, and really nice restrooms, clean, flushing toilets, the whole works. You know, so it's really a great experience. We thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, we wish we could have stayed longer. We went out to the point and got some shots that night. I was a little bit concerned because we had just passed a full moon and we still had a lot of moonlight, but we were able to get out at a time before the moon fully rose from the east, and we were able to get some really good shots of the stars at night.
Well, and by the way, for anybody that hasn't really been out to one of these, what do they call it again, the dark sky parks, there's a reason why they call them dark sky park. It is dark. We did this at Bryce out right on the rim, and I had my hand directly in front of my face. I could not see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of areas there in southern Utah that are designated.
And we've got a lot. We've got nine international dark sky destinations in Utah. Natural Bridges National Monument was the first, but we got Goblin Valley, Bryce, Capitol Reef, Dead Horse Point, Torrey, Utah, and several others. I mean, we have a plethora of dark sky. Antelope Island. So
the yurt experience, though, what it did was give you a base that you could actually operate out of, and that gave you the opportunity to see more of Dead Horse Point.
It was. In fact, this trip, I wanted to make it all about Dead Horse Point. I wanted to hike all the trails that are available there on the top, because usually on a tour, we just go straight to the tip, hike out to the observation area, and just kind of hike that perimeter out on the end. So this time, I wanted to hike all the trails that go throughout the area. There's also a great mountain bike trail. I didn't take my bike, so we didn't do any mountain bike. We only did hiking, but it's got the Intrepid Trail. That was really a great trail system up there as well. So, you know, and plus you're really close to Canyonlands Island in the Sky, so just a short distance from there, you can drive out to Island in the Sky, go to Mesa Arch and to all the viewpoints, go down to Upheaval Dome, and spend time out on the Island in the Sky as well. So it's a great hub for all that, just a short distance, you know, 30-plus miles to Arches National Park and Moab.
We've got only about 30 or 45 seconds here. Can you do this yurt thing this time of year, or is it just too cold?
I would do it. I mean, it's, you know, there's no bad clothes, right?
Right.
I mean,
no bad weather, just bad clothes. Yeah.
Bad clothes. Yeah, and these yurts stay very warm. They're Mongolian-styled yurts, so they have a heater inside. You can stay plenty warm. I would go in the winter, definitely, because it's not nearly as crowded. It's hard to get these yurts during the high season. They reserve far out in advance. This is the time of year to go because the skies are going to be amazing. You'll get more dark sky, longer hours of sky, dark sky. I would definitely go this time of year.
Awesome. All right. Does it have room service or no?
Room service. Well, it depends on who you bring with you.
It depends on what you term service. I'm talking about food delivered to the front door of the year. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't think it has. We're not talking glamping here. This is still camping.
All right, buddy. If people want to read your blog about it, you've got it on your website, roadtrippingwithbob.com. Look up Dead Horse Point State Park. Starry sky, jaw-dropping views and family adventure. I enjoyed the read, and we really enjoy always having you on the show. Thanks so much.
You bet. You guys have a good day.
All right. Bob Grove is our Southern Utah correspondent. Real quick, mister, again, give people the number if they want sat phones.
Yeah, just give us a call, 801-450-8317, and Chris will talk to you.
Ah, Mama's taking over.
Yeah.
All right, and we'll look forward to hearing from you, maybe on some future shows. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming in, as always.